Hi, I'm Andrew Connell. In this screencast, we're going to look at a deep dive into the Office 365 API for OneNote services. Before we begin, let's look at the developer vision for the Office 365 development. It boils down to both users and data. What do I mean by users? Users want to be able to work with their devices and interact with all of their information using custom applications or some of the applications that have been provided by Microsoft, such as the Office clients as Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint, as well as custom applications that developers build. They want to work with them in a familiar environment with familiar user interfaces. For developers, we want to be able to build custom applications using a multitude of different platforms, from working in a mobile experience to working off a server-side product, something that's working on the desktop, or even just a standard web page. We want to be able to get to all of our data and provide these really good experiences for our users. We're going to start with an introduction, and then we'll look at OneNote API scenarios. We'll look at getting started with the OneNote service and a deep dive into the OneNote service. Let's start with an introduction. What's the OneNote API vision? It's fast, it's simple, and it's available everywhere. It's RESTful and it's built on OData so that we can use HTML and JSON to create notes. We have a simple CRUD-based API for creating notes and working with notes and updating notes. We can make it very easy to find anything very quickly using easy recognition, image processing, schematic content, and tags. It's a one place for all of your memories. Your OneNote is a one place for all of your memories. You'll never forget anything. It easily invoke ideas whenever you need them with natural language search and enable more personalized devices, apps, and smarter digital assistants. So that's the vision of the OneNote API. OneNote is pre-installed on every new Windows device. It's free on all platforms. Windows 8, Windows 10, Windows Phone, OS X, iOS, Android, and a web-based instance as well. There's a bunch of first-party capture experiences like Office Lens for Windows Phone and iOS, to where you can easily take a picture and scan documents using your phone. You have a OneNote Clipper, where you can clip from the web using your favorite browser, and you can even email and save things straight to OneNote. There's over 100 million users as of the time of this recording of OneNote, and you get 15 gigs of free storage with OneDrive for your OneNotes. Let's look at some sample scenarios here for working with OneNote. Some sample API scenarios here would be creating pages and sections, maybe simple captures for lightweight HTML and structured HTML for using paragraphs and tables and images. We can also capture photos and images referencing to an image on the internet or including the binary image data right inside of OneNote. We can also capture web pages as a snapshot, providing a URL of a page stored as an image or providing HTML stored as an image. We can also embed files by specifying the file name and the MIME type and include binary data. It'll be rendered out as an icon and opens in the native application based on the defined MIME type. You can also capture a PDF and embed it inside the document. It'll also be displayed as a page in as a separate, each page will be displayed as an image within the OneNote document. What can we do with pages? We can query a list. We can recall page content. We can also update a page. In the future, we'll be able to have embeddable pages, copying pages, sharing pages. There's a bunch of stuff, and I'd encourage you to take a look at the OneNote Dev Center at dev.onenote.com, as well as the OneNote blog at blogs.msdn.com/b/onenotedev. So you may have to ask yourself, what scenario works best for me? Do I require editable content or just a picture? Is the content local within the document, within the notebook, or is it at some URL? Is it accessible by the OneNote service, or does it require authentication? Let's look at getting started with the OneNote service. Now we have some really quick captures that we can do here with OneNote using the Clipper. This is like a favorite button that we have on IE or the desktop. If you just go to OneNote.com, you can grab this and install it in your browser. You also have the OneNote Save dialog as a JavaScript snippet. And let's take a look at the OneNote capture here. In this demo, I want to show you how to use the web clipper to actually do a one-click capture and save it to OneNote. So here what we have is just a simple HTML web page. And this web page is using jQuery. It's going to create a reference to the current URL that we have on the page, have some notes, a title, a description, maybe an image. And then it's going to go through and create this link here to save it to OneNote. So what that's going to do is I'm going to create, and I have a button here that says save to OneNote. And this href is actually going to point to this URL. So it's going to point to the office, the OneNote file, OneNote page, onenote.com/clipper/save. I can pass in a URL, the image URL, a title of the page, the description of the page, and any notes that go along with it. A little bit farther down here, you can see that I have a little link here where once I actually run the clipper, what I can do is I can just click on saving the MSDN page. So here's a specific MSDN page that will be clipped to my OneNote. And then down here, here's a save another link here that will save this item to OneNote, and click on save this page to OneNote right here. So if I go click F5 here and actually go launch my application, we see we have this sample page, right? So if I say, let's save this page to OneNote, if I click on this link, this is gonna have me first go log in to OneNote. So let me go ahead and log in first. Now once I've logged in, OneNote's gonna prompt me to where I want to clip this page. So I'm gonna go ahead and select a notebook that I've created, and we'll put it inside the Quick Notes section, and I'll say clip. So now it's gone through and it's clipped my page. So now I can go ahead and open my notebook up in OneNote to take a look at it. Now, this can take a minute to go through and to clip the note. So you may get this if you try and look at it right away where it says the content's not available. It just takes a moment for the content to actually show up and to get synchronized. So that can just take a minute to appear. Here's one that I did just a minute ago where we can see the notes get added to OneNote page along with a snapshot of the page. So this is the one that I actually created just a minute ago using that same page. Now another one we can do is we can clip an entire MSDN page. So if I click on save MSDN page to OneNote, here we're saving it straight, a page straight from MSDN. So here's the whole save dialog. I'll go ahead and click clip right here. It's clipping the page. Let's go back over to OneNote and let's see if we can see our page. Now again, this can take a moment for it to show up because it's gonna have to reach out to MSDN to go load the page. And here you see that it's actually just now pulled all the content from MSDN on this MSDN page, and it's clipped the entire page right inside of OneNote. Now, what about building a custom application? First, you're going to register your app, then you're going to authenticate the user, you're going to capture the content, and add it to the OneNote service. What you're going to have to do is first register your app with the Microsoft Live service. The OneNote API uses OneDrive, which requires a Microsoft account. So you're going to go to account.live.com/developers/applications/create. That's going to require a Microsoft account. The OneNote API uses the OneDrive for Business, is going to require Office 365, which will require a Microsoft account and an organizational account. If you're developing an app for one of the mobile devices, you'll need a Microsoft account so you can get your client ID. If you're creating a Windows Store app, you're going to need a Microsoft account registered as a Windows Store developer account so you can get your package identity. Other types include Windows 7 apps, Windows 8 apps, Windows 10 apps, web apps, desktop apps. For all those, you're going to need a Microsoft account to get your client ID, secret, and redirect domain. So here's what the experience looks like for OneDrive Consumer. You're going to register your application using the links that were provided before. This is going to be allowing a web-based application or an iOS application. If you want to go create a Windows 8 or Windows Phone or Windows 10 application, you need to do that at the Windows Store dashboard instead. You're then going to need to authenticate the user. So you're going to do that using the Live SDK available via NuGet. You're going to say Microsoft.live.liveauthclient to go authenticate the client and to manage access and get refresh tokens. There's a couple different scopes that are available that you can define. The different scopes are the different permissions. So things like creating a OneNote, updating a OneNote, updating it. All of those things are all referenced for the permission scope reference available on MSDN at the link provided here. You can also capture content either as HTML, as an image, or an embedded file, as I mentioned earlier. Now you can add files to OneNote using a RESTful API. That's going to be at dev.onenote.com. You look at the OAuth token in the header, that's going to have to be specified to authenticate. You're then going to have to provide the content as in the body of the request of an HTTP post. The content should be UTF encoded and the HTML must be well formed. You can try it out at the two links that are provided at the bottom. At a site called apogee.com, you can then go to /OneNote/embed/console/OneNote. And that's going to be the production API. You see there's another one there for the beta. Now the OneNote REST interface contains a couple different things, supports a couple different things. The root API for the production one will be at onenote.com/api/v1.0. You see there's also a beta one. Now we have get and post operations that are supported. We can get pages, sections, section groups, and notebooks. For posting, we can post notebooks, sections, and pages, and that's going to be for creating and updating items. You can also issue a patch. Now that's in beta at the time of this recording, but what a patch will allow you to do is to update an existing page. You don't have to post the entire page back. Now to use the OneNote API with Office 365 API, with the Office 365, you need to keep in mind that the notebooks are going to be stored in a user's OneDrive for Business. They're all accessible via the OneNote API. You're going to register an application not with the consumer live services. You're going to instead register them with Azure AD. OneNote specific permissions and scopes are available within Azure AD. You're going to authenticate with Azure AD and obtain an access token. It's going to first require you to log in to OneNote.com with your Office 365 account in order to get the OneNote permission and scope to appear in your Azure AD tenant. So let's look at a demo and explore the REST API using the Apogee site. Another way that you can actually interact with OneNote is using the apogee.com site. So if I come over here and I'm going to open up an incognito window, I'm going to go ahead and navigate to the Apogee site. I'm going to go to the OneNote/embed/console/OneNote page. Now, what I need to do is I first need to authenticate. So I'm going to come over here and authenticate using the OAuth 2 implicit grant. So this is going to prompt me to authenticate and log in to OneNote. Now, once I've authenticated, I can select from the different things that we can choose from. So here's all the different sample API calls that Microsoft has set up for us on Apogee to be able to play with this. So if I come over and click on notebooks, I can get a list of all the notebooks that I have in my account. And so sure enough, I click on this. If I start scrolling down, I can jump to, here's a notebook right here called my demo notebook that was created by me. I can look at all the pages within my notes, so or my notebooks. I come over here and I'd say, let's look for, we have a notebook ID. So let's find our ID for our notebook. We'll grab this ID right here. We'll copy this out. And let's come over here and pick our sections. So I'll pick a section, our notebook sections right here. So we'll pick on notebook ID sections. And I will set the ID of our notebook equal to this notebook right here. I'm not going to pass anything else in. Let that all the defaults just go. And we'll click send. And here we scroll down and we'll see, do we have any sections? We do. We have one section here called Quick Notes. So you can see we have lots of different ways we can go through and interact with OneNote. Now let's look at capturing content. This snippet, as you see here on the slide, is going to represent a simple text capture. In addition, it also provides basic structure of the following snippets that we'll build upon. Things like creating an HTTP client, setting the headers, building content for the to be created page, and a posting to the endpoint. So we see there that we're first authenticating. So we've created an auth client and we have our access token that we've used to create the HTTP client. We're then creating a simple HTML fragment, and that's what's going to be added to our page. I then created a URL for our endpoint, pointing to onenote.com/api/v1.0/pages. And then I'm creating a new HTTP request message using an HTTP post, and then the content for this message is going to be a HTML content that's been encoded using UTF-8, and then I'm going to pass the value across of simple HTML, which is the fragment created above. And I'm then going to submit the request. What about capturing an image? Well, I'm going to have the same kind of authorization headers set up, but this one I'm going to create an HTML fragment for an image that lives somewhere. In this case here, I'm going to go, the content that I'm going to be submitting is an actual image. So you see here that my media, I'm creating a media type header value of an image slash JPEG. The endpoint is going to be the same, pointing to the page's endpoint. I'm going to issue an HTTP post. Now the content for this, I'm going to pass in a string using the simple HTML that's defined at the top. This is still just HTML content. So I'm going to pass in UTF-8 as the encoding. The type is HTML. I'm then going to pass in a string for presentation, and then I'm going to pass in the actual image content. The image content, again, if you look at above, that's the actual header value that's being passed in. It's a stream of an image coming from a local asset that's logo.jpg, and we're going to call it image1, and then I submit the whole request over to the endpoint. The name of presentation that you see there in the string content I'm passing across, that's required. That indicates the main part of the capture. I can also capture a web page snapshot. So here I'm getting a reference to onenote.com as the home page, and then I'm passing that across in the content. So OneNote will take a picture of that page to render it out. Now, when talking about the capturing a web page snapshot, the first method is great for archiving things you see on the web that change frequently. So here I'm just pointing to OneNote.com. The second method is useful when a web page is more complex than the OneNote page can render out, or when a page requires login credentials. It's important to note that the HTML in the non-presentation block cannot use the data render SRC attribute. Right? So that's just going to be, this content type is going to be a name block control that's going to handle the API of the content. Dynamic content won't appear, such as content in an AJAX request, or content will not appear if it depends on some sort of a cookie. I can also capture an embedded file. So here in the simple HTML, I've created an object representation pointing to a file. So I see name file1, and the attachment is equal to the name of the actual file that I'm going to attach. I then specify the type of a file it actually is. In the using statement, you see I'm opening up a stream or creating a stream to the actual file called file1.docx. And I'm also setting the headers on that content equal to this Word document format. The important part is down at the bottom where we're creating the message and we're setting his content property. I'm creating a new object called a multipart form data content, specifying a string content equal to the HTML that we created above. You can see that encoding is UTF-8 and the text is HTML. I'm specifying presentation, that's the main part of the document. And then the file content, which is the part that the stream that we created, I'm gonna associate that with file1, which you see there is listed in simple HTML in the data element for the object. That's how we're embedding an actual file. Embedding a PDF is very similar. In fact, it's almost identical. Here we've got the name specified to a PDF in the simple HTML for the data attribute. We're saying the data attachment type is of type PDF. And then I'm specifying the data. I'm opening up the file, file1.pdf, as a new stream. And then I'm going to add that to the page using simple HTML, UTF-8, and HTML, specifying the main presentation area of the document is going to be the PDF content with the name of PDF that we specified in the HTML. Now I want to leave you with a bunch of key links here. You can go to onenote.com for the main homepage for all of OneNote. There's also a developer center at dev.onenote.com. The Office, the OneNote Dev blog can be found at blogs.msdn.com/b/OneNoteDev. To register an app that's covered inside of MSDN at the link provided here, and we have also provided the two API Playground links at the apigee.com website that I referenced earlier in the module. Again, the Dev Center is at dev.onenote.com. You can find a reference to the API at dev.onenote.com/docs, and you can look for the JavaScript API for all of Office at this link on MSDN here. The OneNote team has also consolidated all their samples at GitHub under the organization OneNote Dev. So in this module, we did an introduction to the OneNote API, we looked at some of the different scenarios, how to get started with the OneNote service, and a deep dive into the OneNote service. Microsoft offers multiple ways to get in touch with them and also to stay up to date on what's going on. One of the things is the Developer Program Watch. What the Developer Program is all about is allowing you to sign up and get email newsletters, free developer subscription to Office 365, which will give you a 1 year free to a Office 365 tenant, free training, free tools, and free webinars that they'll publish on a periodic basis. Using this Developer Program, you'll be able to stay in touch and up to date with all the latest and greatest offers and news and updates coming out of Office 365 and Office development. You can sign up for it at dev.office.com/devprogram. The Office team also provides multiple ways for you to sign up and to stay in touch with what's going on. From the Office 365 network and Yammer, to staying in touch on Twitter using the Office Dev handle, you can also ask questions on Stack Overflow using the tag ms-office. We have multiple podcasts as well. If you go to dev.office.com to sign up for different podcasts, such as the Office 365 Developer Podcasts. In Channel 9, there's a developer show as well, the Office 365 Developer Show that comes out on a weekly basis. You can also find out about a bunch of different quick demos. You can find those at YouTube if you go to aka.ms/o365devsnackdemos. And then finally, do you have feedback for the team? Do you have ideas for new features? Do you have changes that you'd like to see implemented? Submit them on User Voice by going to officespdev.uservoice.com, where you can submit your ideas, and then you can also vote on other people's ideas and provide comments to the team. The engineering team looks at these issues on a periodic basis and a regular periodic basis and triages them to look to improve them and add things to the product going forward. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to watch this screencast.